Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call in, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And today, we're going to talk about The Star Is Born on DAZN. Bam Rodriguez was impressive as I don't know what. This guy is so technical. And I got to be honest, this was my first time seeing him. I feel embarrassed after watching this. It's like, my gosh, you know. It was pretty crazy. But first thing we're going to go over with is the pay-per-view last night, the Fox pay-per-view. Hopefully nobody paid for it, but I know Beeb stuck his neck out. Beeb does what you people don't want to do. He does this for you. Beeb bought the pay-per-view last night.
Oh, yeah. I told you I was going to buy it. You guys didn't believe me?
He does this for you.
It was worth every penny of it not.
It was worth about $6.99 of the $80 price tag. Yeah, that pay-per-view was hot garbage last night. And I told you guys don't buy it, so hopefully you guys didn't. We'll start with the main event and kind of work our way down. Keith Thurman wins a unanimous decision over Mario Barrios by the scores of 117, 111, 118, 110 twice. I got to be, man, this fight was all Keith Thurman. And I got to be honest, man, you got to give the guy his due. He looked great after a two-year layoff. Thurman was just bigger. He was stronger than Barrios. Barrios, you know, he had a few moments in the fight. He had a good body shot, I guess right around round nine or something like that. But they were few and far between, man. Thurman, after the fight, stated that he wants to fight the champions in the divisions. For me, the fight to make is Thurman versus Boots Ennis. That's the fight to make for me. I would love to see that fight. I would love to see Crawford, you know, but I like Boots Ennis against Thurman next. And it should be very makeable. That's a very makeable fight. You know, and listen, man, as far as Barrios is concerned, he needs to go back down and wait. I mean, he got knocked out in his last fight at 140, and then he comes up to 147. I don't know what the theory was behind it coming to 147 other than a payday, but he just got batted around the ring by Thurman. I mean, Thurman was just bigger. He was stronger. To me, and B, if you could speak to this, Barrios doesn't look strong at this weight. He just doesn't.
I think
he was manhandled last night.
I think he looked durable. He had some decent power. He got Keith Thurman's attention a few times. I think this was just a speed thing and a footwork thing. I think Keith Thurman's foot speed was just too much for him because he kept circling him and Barrios was moving in straight lines back, you know, forward and backward, and he just really couldn't get the punching angles, set up for himself, and he had to keep resetting his feet and planting his feet so he could punch. I think Keith Thurman's hand speed and his foot speed were just too great of an obstacle for Barrios in this fight, and that was that. And Keith Thurman did some good things. He went to the body. He was, you know, hooking off the jab. You know, he was varying up the offense pretty well. And he was, as always, accurate with his punches, placing his punches, perfectly. And he was throwing combinations. Keith Thurman did a good job. I thought he did a good job. Was this the right opponent at the right time? Yeah, it seems as though it was. I think I gave Barrios two rounds in the fight. So Keith Thurman won the fight 10 rounds to two. I don't know how you can criticize him or what to criticize him for on this fight. Could he have taken Barrios out? Could he have finished him? I don't know. Barrios seemed to be pretty, Barrios is pretty durable. You know, he wasn't getting hit with multiple shots in succession. He would get hit with a good shot. He would recover. And, you know, he was blocking shots. So it was hard to hit. He wasn't being hit with more than like two shots at a time. It wasn't like he was being blanketed with punches from Keith Thurman, because he would make adjustments with his hands and he would parry shots, but he just couldn't stop the initial one or two shots because Keith Thurman was just too fast. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think it was Centurion said that you went out on a limb picking Barrios. I picked Barrios as well. I thought after the two year layoff, and you know, Barrios, you can take you in a deep water. You know what I mean? He's got that dog in him, you know, and I thought for sure that he was going to bring that out in this fight. I just don't think he's skilled enough to do it. And I think that I can't speak for you, but I know I underestimated Keith Thurman layoff coming after 2 years and fighting a guy who's been active. I didn't think he would look like this. I mean, I thought he looked pretty good. I really did. I mean, you got to give, you know, I make a lot of fun of Keith Thurman. I call him a clown and everything like that. But the clown can fight, man. He can fight. He's a world-class fighter, man. A world-class fighter. Virgil Hunter, of course, in the corner of Mario Barrios. I've never seen Virgil Hunter, aside from Andre Ward, do anything with any boxer, be successful with any other boxer.
Well, I'm not so sure that's an issue of him just not being a good trainer or him just not getting the talent.
Is it a question that it's certain styles? You know, like he's got a certain style he works best, kind of like Emmanuel Stewart. He couldn't do anything with Jermaine Taylor. But like Lennox Lewis, you know, he could take to the moon. You know what I mean? Thomas Hearns, he had a style. Guys that are tall, guys that are lanky, those were his guys. Is Virgil Hunter a lot of the same way? You have to have certain characteristics in order to fall into his system and be successful, or what, man?
Yeah, I mean, he just hasn't been fortunate enough to have anyone nowhere near the talent of Andre Ward come through his gym doors, you know? So that's definitely an issue there. But, you know, I hear him in the corner. I see him training, and I just don't think he's a bad trainer. I just think that, you know, you can't turn water into wine. Only Jesus can do that, so...
You know, I tell you, you know, I know he knows what he's doing. I know he can train you. I get that. But, again, man, it's like, you know, I think he's got to – you have to play the long game with Virgil Hunter. I think a lot of people come into him, a fight here and a fight here and a fight. You know what I mean? Andre Ward was there with the long game. And if you're going to go to Hunter, you got to be there for the long game in order for that to work. And I think too many people spot him – like Freddie Roach or something like that. They'll go to Freddie Roach immediately after they fire their other trainer or whatever and look for a higher profile. And I just think that's kind of where, you know, Virgil Hunter is not that trainer, not like that. He's not going to be able to revamp you in one fight. He's there for the long game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. I mean, Barrios, I don't think he's going to go back down. And I'm not sure if he goes back down if he'll be any better at 140 than 147.
Who's he? I mean, he just got knocked out at 140. I mean, who's he got down there?
Yeah.
I mean, who are you going to put him in with?
I guess Barrios is who he is.
Yeah.
He's a legitimate contender, but he's not a top five guy.
No.
And will he be a champion at 147?
No.
Maybe when all these guys move up, I don't know. But even then, it's still going to be a tough ask for him. It's going to be challenging because he doesn't have the quickest feet in the world. He's a very technically sound fighter. Mm-hmm. He's just not gifted athletically in terms of being dynamic like some of these other guys are. Some of these other guys are just high-powered athletic specimens. Like Crawford is an athletic specimen. Thurman's an athletic specimen. Porter, man, he was a natural.
Ugas, you know.
Yeah,
he's not beating any of those guys.
No. No,
he's not coming close. You take Jerome Bruce Ennis. You take him. He ain't beating him. He's not beating anybody in that upper echelon. He's not beating. It's a, I mean, he's, you know, and somebody in the chat said maybe he's too big for 40. You're going to have to find a way, son. I mean, you're going to have to find a way to get back down to 140. You are not competitive at 147. You're just not. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know going forward how competitive he's going to be at 140. He's going to be competitive in the sense that, like, he's going to, like this fight last night, you know, he's going to put up a good show. But are you just here to put up a good show? That's what I think that's the question you got to ask. And at 147, you're not able to do anything but put on a good show. At 140, you might make some, you know, you might make some dents in there. But you know, you're there. They remember you because you put on good fights. But at least give yourself an opportunity. 147, you got nothing here, man. Nobody's going to touch you. None of the top guys are touching him after last night.
No.
Got walked over.
Like I always say, and let's just make this comparison, because when you're watching Keith Thurman last night, right, were you watching him in there solely against Barrios, or were you picturing him in there with a Spence, a Crawford, an Ugas? And if you were doing that, how do you think he would have done against those guys? I think he would have that, you know, he could give Spence problems because of his foot speed, right? I don't see him beating Crawford. And Ugas is just very crafty. He's a strong guy, and he has great timing. And he has good anticipation, and he gauges distance very well. So I could see Keith Thurman moving a lot against a guy like Ugas, thinking he's out of range, but still getting tagged, because Ugas is just that instinctive, you know, in the ring. So that's the thing. So believe it or not, him and Spence would be a great fight. And he may, as crazy as this may sound, out of all the champions, probably has the best chance against Spence. Because like I said, Spence is not the quickest guy in the world on his feet. And we just saw, all you have to do is look at that Porter fight with Spence. He looked very vulnerable there. He looked less than perfect, right? Because he had problems with Porter's foot speed.
Let me tell you.
I had him winning the fight 8-4. Some people thought that he lost the fight. It was a competitive fight. I still thought he won, but it was much more competitive and problematic for him than I thought it would be because of Porter's foot speed.
Yeah, for sure. Let me tell you why he doesn't get past Spence or get past Crawford. It's the body work. And this has plagued him through his career. And I think it was Louis Collazo that hit him with that body shot that we first saw, like, whoa.
Even Barrios last night.
Barrios last night stunned him with that body shot. He took his mouthpiece out. Didn't he take his mouthpiece out? Same thing he did with Manny Pacquiao,
That's a show of weakness.
Really, I tell you what, man. And you know what? When those mouthpieces are fitted, you know how difficult they are to pull out? I mean, when they are fitted by a dentist, I mean, they're almost impossible to pull out. You have to, like, it's not like you're just going to yank it out with a glove or whatever, but, I mean, I tell you what, man, those body shots are going to be a problem going forward for him.
I agree.
If he fights anybody in the other upper echelon, who does he face next?
There's no way he's going to go near Boots Ennis or Virgil Ortiz. There's no way that's going to happen.
Yeah.
shit. Who's out there, man? If he's, I mean,
Spence is tied up. Crawford, the only one without a dance partner is Crawford right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes after Crawford next.
I think that would be the fight. That would be a good fight.
It wouldn't be such a bad move.
No. I don't think so either, man. I don't think
Tank
so either.
Tank
Raleigh winner. He said the winner, like, it's going to be in doubt. Like, who's winning that fight? Man. Yeah, and Raleigh Romero is now the number one. They made it mandatory now. They made him and Tank mandatory.
Oh, yeah.
So he was cleared of all charges. He was cleared of all charges, so now he's the man.
As I anticipated he would be.
Raleigh Romero, yeah.
I didn't like how they handled that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you had your take on it. I have to respect that, you know.
Well, that's the thing, man. Life, just, it's one of those things. Life ain't fair. You know, we'll hear it. We always hear it. We heard it as kids. We hear it over and over again. Life ain't fair. King KO says Raleigh's got a shot. I agree. I 100%. I like Raleigh Romero a lot, man. I agree.
I think Raleigh can give Tank problems. I mean, Tank
looked
a little vulnerable in that Isaac Cruz fight, you know. I had him winning that fight like 7-5. That was much more competitive
than
I thought it would be.
And you know another reason I like Raleigh is he called out Tank, and he says, yeah, I want to fight this guy. And he's coming up. You know, he's like an up-and-comer guy. You know what I mean? He's not established yet. He's not – you don't see him biding his time, waiting. He called out the champ, and the champ said, okay,
yeah,
let's do it.
He's not playing games at all.
I like it, man. I think – and listen, man, if more people did this, it'd be a lot more exciting. You know, I mean, honestly –
yeah.
Honestly, you're a lot
I don't
better.
Hate it.
I don't either.
I don't hate it.
Let's talk about here. Let's see here. We got the co-main here was Leo Santa Cruz versus Keenan Carbajal, 12 rounds featherweight. Santa Cruz wins an easy decision over Carbajal by the scores of 193 times. Babe, what's next for Santa Cruz? I mean, because this was just
nonsense. this was another workmanlike performance from Santa Cruz. It wasn't earth-shattering, you know, wasn't a super, super crazy off-the-charts type performance. But, you know, he's a PBC fighter. There's a lot of fighters over there around his weight class that they can match him up with, and he'll keep on a-trucking, you know. He'll keep on a-trucking, and he'll do keep being on these cards and keep getting these paydays. But will he be, you know, can he be a world champion again? Yeah, but will he ever be the man again? I'm not so sure.
Listen,
he's got a lot of miles on him.
Yeah,
he has a style where he takes a lot of punishment. Doesn't mind taking two to give one, right? But he is obviously. He's definitely a prolific puncher, got a lot of volume, very exciting fighter. But again, his defense isn't the greatest. And, you know, he's coming off that Tank loss, got knocked out there. He's been in a lot of tough fights.
But we know he can box.
Yeah.
We know he can box, and he can box well. He showed that against Frampton, you know.
But many of his fights have not been easy. You know, they've been tough. They've been tough. So at some, you know, he's in his 30s now. So is he turning the corner? Possibly. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll definitely see.
Yeah. But he's not going to show us anything on a performance like this against an opponent like this.
No. I mean, he did
what he was supposed to do.
This was a guy that was there for him. It was a showcase type fight. You know, it was kind of like a wash, rinse, repeat type thing. He would just go in, ambush, run his combinations, go back out. Once again, you know, this card last night, you know, was basically a card of showcase fights. Now,
sure.
again, I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because on paper, because of the unknown with Thurman, with the layoff and the injuries and the mentality being questioned and all that, because of all that, the odds were pretty close. I mean, he was like he was a minus 185. Barrios was like a plus 150, 160-ish. So the odds makers had this fight close because of the unknown. You know, what Keith Thurman were we going to get? And we got a pretty good version of Keith Thurman, and not everyone expected that version of Keith Thurman. I know Maestro Boxing, we were talking earlier in the week, and he expected this type of fight. He didn't think it was going to be close. He was actually scoffing at the fact that some of us were picking Barrios. He couldn't believe it. But, you know, it is what it is. If he was in his Stephen A. Smith voice, it was, in his opinion, it was blasphemous that we were picking Barrios. Right?
You know,
but, you know.
I tell you, you know what's funny is that, like, you know, when fights like this and, you know, where you should be picking Keith Thurman, but there's no question. And some people are just, you know, we take Barrios because he's been off so long and this and that.
Yeah.
I always go back to the book. You remember that one book we had that we did a review for? And it says that 99%, about 90% of the fights are fixed and predetermined, basically, in the sense that, not that they're paying anybody off, but in the sense that we know who's going to win before this. And this is why the matchmakers are so good, that they know why they're going to win and how they're going. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things, man.
Yep.
Just one of those things. On the undercard, Abel Ramos versus Lucas Santa Maria. I believe this was on Fox, if I'm not mistaken. Santa Maria wins over Ramos here, 96-94 twice and 98-92. Not for nothing, man. I was a bit surprised. I thought Ramos had won this fight. Now, I wasn't scoring it, but as I'm watching the fight, I thought Ramos had won the fight. You know, I don't know. I mean, who did you have in that fight?
Not Ramos.
Oh, you're a liar. I don't know. I thought he won the fight, man. I don't know. What do I know? What, I don't know anything about it. Jesus Alejandro Ramos. Now, this is his nephew or something like that. I don't know. They're related somehow. Versus Vladimir Hernandez, 10 rounds, junior middleweights. Ramos wins via 6-round TKO over Hernandez. Looked pretty good here, Beeb, no?
He looked really good. He looked really good. I thought, you know, He was just impressive, man. He was strong, powerful, walked him down, and it wasn't even close. Like I said, none of these fights were really close.
Squat, old-fashioned matches, you know.
As you would say, these were squash matches.
Yeah, exactly. Luis Nery versus Carlos Castro, 10 rounds, junior featherweights. Nery wins a split decision over Carlos Castro, 96-93, 95-94, and Castro was a winner on 95-94 on the other card. So Luis Nery gets the nod here. Did you get the message from Chacal?
Yeah, he thought Nery was going to lose.
He thought Nery was going to lose. He showed me the picture of the weigh-in, and he was dry, man. He was real dry.
Yeah, he started to fade a little bit, you know, in rounds 5 and 6. You know what I said to myself? I said, well, here we go again, off to a quick start, and then he's just going to fade. But he came back in 7-8. He came back in 7 and 8, but he lost 9 and 10. So I had this like a 6-4 type fight. It was a competitive fight.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a clear Nery victory. I really couldn't find a way to give Castro this win. I thought Nery definitely was landing the more telling blows. And, you know, he was putting out more volume than normal. And he knew what he was doing. He was very crafty in this fight. You know, he would circle. He did like the Manny Pacquiao move. And, you know, he's a southpaw, obviously. And southpaws generally move in the direction of their lead hand. So generally a southpaw would move to his right. He was moving to his left, you know, and trying to walk Castro into that straight left. And he was setting him up really, really good, really well. With that straight left, because he was moving and circling him, and you know Castro was following him, and it was like he was setting that trap, and he sucked him right in, and he was walking right into that straight left hand. So I thought that Nery did some great counter punching in this fight. He had some great tactics, good movement, you know, a lot of subtle movement, and he was turning Castro. It was a good performance, definitely a good performance. But like I said. You know, I was saying to myself, here we go again, because he started to slip a little bit in rounds 5 and 6, and I thought that was going to be a pattern, but he came back in 7 and 8, but credit to Castro, he came back in 9 and 10. This was probably the best fight on the card in terms of entertainment value and competitiveness. So I stand corrected. This fight was competitive. This was the best fight on the card.
Let's talk about Ryan Carl versus friend of the show, Omar Juarez, 10 rounds, junior welterweight here. Juarez wins a split decision over Carl by the scores of 95-94, 95-94, and 96-93 for Juarez. So 95-94 split and then 96-93 for Juarez. Good fight. What's going on? I mean, I watch Omar Juarez, and he has a lot of talent, but that guy was tough last night. And I don't know if it was frustration setting in or what. But he just seemed to, like, outgut Juarez in that fight. And I had, you know, I thought that, you know, Juarez did enough to win, but that was a close fight. And I don't know that it really should have been, Beeb.
Yeah, Juarez, he gets hit a lot. And he's got a very porous defense. He's very aggressive, but at sometimes he can be a little bit reckless. And because of that, he's taken damage, and these fights are tough for him, you know? So he's not the slickest guy in the world. He's not the most crafty guy in the world. He's going to be one of those blood and guts type fighters. He's going to be a Mickey Ward. Well, I can't even say he's a Mickey Ward, because Mickey Ward doesn't get enough credit for his boxing ability.
Right.
But he's going to be one of those sluggers types, those grinders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure he's going to have a long career based on his style, because again, he's not that. He's going to be that guy that's going to be in a lot of tough fights. None of these fights are easy. He's been in a lot of these fights he's had to grind him out, you know? So we got to give him credit for his heart and his determination and his grittiness. But, you know, he is who he is. He may not be the most gifted guy in the world, with all due respect. And because of that, you know, he may not have the longest of careers.
Do you think there's been a lot of chatter in the chat here about Tank versus Keith Thurman? I don't think that fight happens. Do you?
I'm going to be honest with you. I would not be surprised in the least.
So what do they fight for? Tank just moves up to 147 and fights for nothing?
That's it. Well, what did Thurman and Barrios fight for? I mean, they don't give a shit over there.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Look at the fights they make over there.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, do any of these fights over there make sense?
No, they really don't. A lot of them don't, man. That's true.
Right? So, I wish I could tell you something different, but, I mean, like I always tell you, you know, you got to look at the empirical data, and the empirical data shows that
right.
They'll fucking take two pigeons off the street and throw them in the ring and have us pay to fight, watch them fight. They don't give a shit.
You know, it's a good fight, but with no titles on the line, how would they, you know, generate? You got to figure that, you know, because the public likes titles on the line, and these aren't like two household names exactly. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Tank, I don't know. See what they seem to think they got something in Tank, and I'm not going to say they don't, but do they have exactly what they think they have? That's another question.
It's a big question. On the zone, Carlos Quadras versus Jesse Bam Rodriguez for the vacant WBC junior bantamweight title. Jesse Bam Rodriguez wins a unanimous decision over Carlos Quadras, 117-110 twice and 115-112. I thought 115-112 was a little close to me, but whatever. I was really impressed by Rodriguez, man. He's got a lot of power for his weight. He's also very technical. I think that's the other thing that got me. He was just a super technical fighter, man. He had Quadras guessing the entire fight. With the win, Rodriguez now becomes the youngest reigning champion in boxing. Yeah, 22. I believe it's 22. So there you go. Beeb, I was surprised when I saw the odds for this that Rodriguez was favored, and he was favored like by a lot. It wasn't even close. I mean, it was a big discrepancy here.
Quadras got a lot of miles on him. You know, he's been knocked, you know, he's been hurt. He's been beat up in a couple fights, knocked out in a few fights. He's older. You know, I have to be honest. I didn't know a ton about Rodriguez. I heard a lot of good things about him.
Right.
I heard a lot of good things about him. And shout out to Steve Kim. Steve Kim was really hyping this guy up. And, you know, he said that he believes this kid, he compared him to the natural, like Roy Hobbs. And once again, this kid's like, I think, 22, 23 years old. But I'm going to go back to the, you know, description of a fighter and, you know, go to that instinctive quality again and mention that and bring that up again. Because this is a young kid who's very instinctive, right? You could tell these fighters who are just natural fighters when they just do things extemporaneously. You can tell when someone is trying to do something and they're, you know, forcing it,
right?
And when it just flows. And I have to say, and again, I tend to make hyperbolic statements, but it's been a long time since I've seen such a fluid combination puncher like I've seen, you know, with Bam Rodriguez. He just lets those punches flow. Knows the right punches to throw at the right times, knows just how to gauge the distance, knows where he's at all times, never looks like he's off balance, never overextends, never is out of position. He got hit a few times, but once again, you know, he corrects the mistakes quickly. It's hard to pin this kid down and land solid combinations on him. He'd get it one time and he'd make the adjustment with his hand positioning or just make that subtle step off to the side and the variation. He just looks like a natural fighter in there. Like he was born to do this, you know?
Yeah.
He like walked in the gym one day and it took little or no instruction to show this kid how to fight.
This guy fights textbook too. It's not like, I mean, he is a textbook fighter. He's just one of those guys where if you're going to pattern a fighter, you take a look at him. He does all the basics correct. All the basics are done well with this guy, and that's a big deal, and that will take you a long way. This guy, man, I tell you what, a star was born last night, man, because, you know, we've seen Carlos Quadras in tough fights, and we've seen him come back. We've seen him, but, I mean, he was, I think that Outlaw said it best. He said that he was completely outclassed in this fight, and he was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad.
And the difference in experience, you know, it was just, you know, it was great. I mean, he was in there with a former champion, a world-class guy, and he made him look ordinary.
Ordinary. Completely ordinary. That 115-112, I don't know what they were watching. I don't know what they were watching there, but 117-110 was about the right score, I think. I thought.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had it. I had it 117-110. You know, and Bam Rodriguez, that was his 15th fight last night. 22 years old, very similar to the Teofimo Lopez story situation, right? Very similar, right? But the difference is this young man seems to have a really good head on his shoulders. And no, all due respect to, you know, Teofimo Lopez, I don't want to kick a person when they're down. But you could just see, you know, that this guy's a student of the game. You definitely see that.
Wow. Really? You just took a dump all over Teofimo, man. Wow, I was cold-blooded, dude.
Wow. We got to tell the truth. We got to tell the truth here, man.
You just took a dump square all over. While he was down, too. While he's down, he almost died in that fight, and you're over there like, you know.
We got to tell the truth here, man.
Unbelievable. Wow, that was rough. You got to be more tactful. That was rough. That was disrespectful.
We wish the best over here for Teofimo Lopez.
We've cut him from our advertising.
we sent him, you know, a statement out there wishing him the best. don't get down on yourself, you know.
Oh my goodness, that's right. All right, across the pond, man. Chris Eubank Jr. versus Liam Williams. Listen, I didn't get to catch the fight. I didn't see it. I don't think it was on TV. I didn't even catch it on YouTube because I really didn't care that much. But Eubank wins a unanimous decision over Williams, 116-109, 116-108, and 117-109. I think Liam Williams, correct me if I'm wrong, B, was he knocked down four times in this fight?
By jabs a couple times, too.
Yeah. And it was still eight rounds to four?
Yeah, it was a very, very, very one-sided fight. But here's the thing that's kind of frustrating with Chris Eubank Jr., right? And Carl Froch and George Groves, part of the commentary team over there at Sky, they were very critical. They were very critical of Eubank's performance. Because when you're outclassing someone like that, right, you don't play with your food. You know, he's sitting there, a lot of insignificant posturing and movement and a lot of, you know, just things that mean, like, what are you doing them for? They have no significance, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like you're playing. Here's the thing, Eric, and you know this as well as I do. People don't pay to watch you spar. They pay to watch you fight.
Yeah.
And if you want to clown around and play with someone, when you can get them out of there, there's no reason why you couldn't have got him out of there. I don't want to hear this, I want to go rounds bullshit. Oh, I'm trying new things. You can't have that mentality. Try to go into a fight with Gennady Golovkin with all this putting your hands out there, doing this, that, and the third. I mean,
yeah.
You don't play boxing, all right? Because once you start doing that stuff against guys like Leon Williams, and then people can say, oh, well, he was doing that because he was in there with, okay. But once you start doing that, you start developing bad habits, you start becoming complacent. You should fight every fight as if the guy in there can take your head off.
Yeah.
All right? There's no, you shouldn't be hesitating or playing around. Look at, remember what's his name, Nate Campbell, and against Robbie Peden, put his hands down and stuck his face out like that. And when Robbie Peden knocked him out cold, you don't play boxing. You just don't play boxing. So, Eubank, I don't know what he's trying to do in there. He's trying to reinvent himself. He used to be a more dynamic, aggressive guy. But like someone said in the chat, he wants to be Roy Jones Jr. He's trying to be Roy Jones Jr. But Roy Jones Jr., if he hurt you, he'd get you out of there. You don't carry guys or play around with guys. You get them out of there when you can get them out of there. And, a lot of people are critical of him because you stop playing around with the wrong guy, and like I said, you can get knocked out of there.
Absolutely. We've seen it happen a million times. I mean, we've seen it happen a million times. And, Eubank, I know Eubank Sr. used to do a lot of that stuff, like a lot of the posturing in the ring, and he would just stand there and pose and stuff like that. Listen, just be your own guy. Be your own guy.
Yeah.
You know,
it looks like he's trying to be someone else in there. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
And I think Roy Jones, if he's being honest, he's got to pull him aside and tell him that, listen, I know you see how I used to fight, and I'm training you now, and I'll show you some of the things I did, but you can still be, you still have to be yourself. You can emulate me, but don't imitate me. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Roy Jones was a killer.
Yeah, Roy Jones got you out of there.
He's not going to play around.
Right.
He'll play around, but in the same token, he'll play around, but then, flip the switch and get you out of there when it's time to get you out of there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And after every fight, I'm noticing too, like my shoulder, my hand. You got to get it together, brother. You got to get it together.
That's it. Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I don't know who I want to see Eubank in with. I mean, I want to see him in there. Liam Williams is okay, but I want to see his competition get up now. I want to see you fight a top 10 guy. You know what I mean? I want to see a legit contender guy. That's what I want to see.
Well, here's the disturbing thing. We're hearing Kell Brook's name being thrown around.
Stop it.
There's even like,
on,
I know
man.
even Conor Benn called him out at a catch weight. I don't think they're going to do that, but the names that they're mentioning are I don't know, the Billy Joe Saunders, would that be a good fight for him? I mean,
Billy Joe's retired. Where's
Billy
he at?
Joe's 100.
He's
Billy
on
Joe's
a milk carton. You know what I mean? Where's he?
He's 160. He's 168 pounder. Like, what are you going to try to fight him at 160? I mean, he's not going to be able to come down on 160.
Yeah.
Come on, He's got one. He's basically retired, like you said. How much sense does that fight make? Oh yeah, we got history, we got this, that. But you guys went in different directions. You took different paths.
Right.
He's struggling to make 168. Billy Joe Saunders. How's he going to make 160 again? Where are you going to fight him at 168? I thought you wanted to be a champion at 160. So,
like I said, man, I don't get it. I really don't. I don't know. Again. And somebody in the chat just Team Batman said that if he thinks if Brooke wins that he's going to fight Brooke.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's terrible, man. I mean, that's a terrible fight.
I would not be surprised if that happens.
I wouldn't either. I'll be honest. Let's talk about the undercard here. Clarissa Shields versus Emma Cozen. Shields wins by unanimous decision over Cozen, 100-90 on all cards. This was a, I guess kind of a big snooze fest. I mean, it was a one-sided fight. But after the fight, there was more action after the fight than was during the fight. Savannah Marshall came down. The two got face-to-face and her and Clarissa were jawing at each other and everything like that. Beeb, she wins a lot of fights. She doesn't put a lot of people away. In fact, she puts more people to sleep in the crowd than in the fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Savannah Marshall was cracking on her and ragging on her, saying, "Yeah, people started walking out after the fifth round."
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I respect Clarissa Shields. Obviously, sure. she's a phenomenal fighter. But if you were to ask me, who would you rather see fight, Katie Taylor or Clarissa Shields? I would pick Katie Taylor all day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would pick Katie Taylor all day. I'm being honest. I just I'm not crazy about Clarissa Shields' style. I respect her. Now can Savannah Marshall bring out something in Clarissa Shields we haven't seen? I don't know. We'll see. But Savannah Marshall can punch. She can get girls out of there. And you can criticize her competition all you want. But once again, you know, there's not a ton of competition out there in female boxing. You know, we got the super fight here with Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano, you know. And this Savannah Marshall, Clarissa Shields is a great matchup too. So, you know, you hit Clarissa Shields, criticizing Savannah Marshall's opponents. But, okay, outside of Hannah Gabriels and, Christina Hammer, who have you fought, you know, with all due respect? I mean, is it and that's not a knock on either female. It's just that they're just – all you can do is go to BoxRec and look at the division. And how many registered middleweights, female middleweights, are there? They're just – There's just not a lot of fighters out there for these girls to fight. Now at 135 and 140, it's a little better, but even there, it's still tough for these matchups. You know, at least you have like you got Jonas down there, you got Persoon, you know, you got Katie Taylor, you got Serrano in the lower weight classes. So you got some fighters in the lower weight classes. But once you start moving up, there's not a lot of world class middleweights or super middleweights out there, in the female boxing rankings. It just isn't. So
I got to be honest. Out of the two fights, Savannah Marshall and Clarissa Shields, and then you have Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. Out of those two fights, I'm not interested in really either. I got to be honest.
That's just not interested. You have a right to feel that way. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm extremely excited for the Katie Taylor Amanda Serrano fight because I love Amanda Serrano, but I'm a huge Katie Taylor fan as well. But you know what? I mean,
I like Katie Taylor a lot. I'm just not excited for this fight. I don't know.
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, you like what you like. We can go into an ice cream parlor. You may like chocolate. I may like Rocky Road. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Like Rocky Road, dude. That's just stupid. The dumbest thing I've ever heard. Dumb.
Well, of course. I mean, you're just a basic, straight-up black and white type guy.
You're just a basic, straight-up hater. How about that?
I like to go up and down. I like to.
Yeah, I've heard that about you. Anyway. All right, let's go to the phones here real quick. We got Robert. I see him in the
fucking red.
Oh, that's cold-blooded, B. Why do you do him like that, man? That's cold-blooded. Robert. You're live.
Hello, guys, and thank you for calling me a rat.
That's your
doorbell? No, that's my
text. I didn't call you a rat. I was telling Lois I just saw a rat run across the floor.
Yeah.
I said, Lois,
yep.
Look at that rat.
I'm very impressed.
I call you a rat.
I'm very impressed with Bam Rodriguez. That's the first time I ever seen him, and that was a great performance last night.
That was good, huh, Rob?
Bam looked good.
Yeah.
He looked
good.
And
Eric, you're definitely right. A new star is born. I'm wondering, though, because Quadras has been in so many wars, how do you think Rodriguez would do against Chocolatito or any of the others, like Rungvisai or any of those?
Beats them all.
Okay. You don't think any of them would be any kind of a contest, Eric? Do you think he blows them all out?
Yeah. You see that guy fight last night?
Yeah, I did. Very good.
He's pretty good. Yeah,
very
he's,
good,
he's,
man.
He's pretty solid. Pretty solid fighter.
Yeah. Yep.
What's the matter, Robert? You weren't paying attention?
Yeah.
No, of course I was
yeah,
paying attention.
Yeah, I think he blasts everybody,
man. What's wrong with you, man?
Man?
What are you... Who were you and Mrs. Herrick doing when the fight was on last night? Making fondue? Come on, what the fuck?
Give me
pay attention.
Fondue.
Give me a break.
How you doing, playing Connect Four over there? Come on.
Well, hey, speaking of fights, are you aware that ESPN Plus has fights tonight?
Yeah, it was. I mean, what is the fight? It's not. I don't think it's anything very exciting. Right?
What's the fight?
I can't remember the names.
What's the fight, Robert?
I can't remember the name, Joe. But
you
I
don't
I
remember
saw
the
it.
Names. You
don't
brought it up.
Names,
but you don't remember the names of the
on,
fight.
You're coming on there trying to be
what's
a promoter.
With you?
What are you
not
like, Dr. De La Hoya, reading
right.
The fighters' names
what
off
are you
the
doing?
Paper? What?
No.
We have a great car tonight.
Oh no! Come on! I don't
you.
Talk.
What's with
I don't
you?
Talk like that.
Come on, Robert.
Spot
on. Come on, Robert.
Give me a break, Joe. Anyway.
That's like a realtor. That's like a realtor trying to sell someone a house and saying, hey, I want to show you this house. Then they walk in the house, and then someone's asking a question. How many bedrooms does it have? Oh, I don't know. Let me walk around. We'll count them together.
All I've got to do, Eric, is call in, and he gets all wound up.
He gets disgruntled. I know. He gets disgruntled easily anymore.
Yeah.
Robert, you know... I just had a jelly donut and an apple fritter before I came on this show. So it's either caffeine or sugar that I'm jacked up on before I do this show. So you know by now what you're going to get when you call in here. Don't act surprised. And don't ever come on here trying to play the victim because you'll get no pity over here.
Oh, that's terrible, Beeb. Come on. He's calling
anyway,
you. Show some respect.
Anyway, let's get on to some other topics. I want to see Boots Ennis blow out Keith Thurman.
Wow, that was very disrespectful.
What did Thurman ever do to you, brother?
Yeah, why don't you like Keith Thurman? Did you watch the fight last night, Robert?
Absolutely not.
He shouted you out at the end of the fight. You didn't see that?
Nope, absolutely not.
Wow.
But seriously, no, I want to see Boots Ennis blow out Keith Thurman.
Keith Thurman looked good last night. Keith Thurman looked real good last night.
Yep. Well, look at the competition. You said it yourself.
Wow.
Barrios.
I picked Barrios to win.
Yeah, but
me and
Bean
both picked Barrios to win.
I know, but you said that he needs to drop down to 140. He wasn't competitive at 147. Beeb said Barrios is too slow. Thurman had it real easy last night. Put him in against a killer like Boots Ennis, and let's see how easy it is.
Man, that's rough, boy.
And as far as Eubank is concerned, he's now the number one mandatory for Murata. Let's see Murata take care of Eubank.
What happened to Triple G? I thought he was, I guess he's got a title. What's going on with that fight?
I have no idea. They were supposed to fight in December, but Japan locked everything down. It's supposed to be rescheduled, but I haven't heard a new date. And I think And I think DAZN has about had it with one Gennady Golovkin. They're not getting their money's worth.
Yeah, but it's not his fault. He was scheduled to fight. He was scheduled to fight on New Year's. I mean, that's like an act of God. I mean, like how could he control that?
I know, but I'm talking about the lack of activity, Eric.
I agree. I mean, what are they going to do with this guy?
They ain't going to do anything with him. You know, he's got to pay. I mean, I'm sure it's not like a guaranteed contract. I'm sure he's got to fight to get his money. So, I mean, if he ain't fighting, they ain't paying him. Yeah. So what
and what, what chance do you give Daniel Jacobs this weekend, guys?
I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But what chance do you give him?
I think it's going to be competitive, but Daniel is another one that's been out of the ring for quite a while. And because of the lack of activity, it'll be interesting to see what he looks like.
Well, let me ask you a question. Besides Canelo Alvarez, who's been active this past year?
Got a point.
Well, you got a good point, Joe. You got a good point. I don't know.
I always have
good
points. That's why I'm here and you're over there.
It's hard to judge some of these people because, you know, a lot of it couldn't be helped because everything was closed down. But, you know, I think everything is starting to get back to normal, so hopefully people will start taking fights and we can get back to regular boxing as we know it.
Okay.
There it is. So, all right. So, Robert, who you got
anyway,
in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to be rooting for Cincinnati, but I haven't decided who I'm actually going to pick. Look, Cincinnati has never won a Super Bowl, so I'm going to be rooting for them.
So who are you picking?
I don't know yet. I don't have to make my official pick until
Tuesday.
To
me, you don't know.
I don't know yet.
To me, you don't know.
What is
how many
wrong?
More stats you got to go over?
I don't know yet.
How many more stats you got to go over, son?
What is wrong?
Jamar Chase, Rookie of the Year. Joe Burrow, Comeback Player of the Year. That offense is killer. The defense is killer. The defense is solid. What are you talking
about? Eric, what about your offensive line? How many times has Aaron
we got
Donald
there in spite of, son? We got there
and,
in spite of, son.
How many
of,
times
son?
Is Aaron Donald and Von Miller going to get to Burrow on Sunday?
They might get to him quite a few times.
Yeah.
But Burrow ain't coughing up that ball.
That's not good for you. You know? You got.
It's not good for you, but you win in spite of.
As I told you on the show that we did, he holds the ball too long. He's got to get rid of it immediately, you know?
He got rid of it pretty quick in Kansas City, didn't he?
Well, I hope he learned his lesson from Tennessee, you know?
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, you better pick the Bengals, Robert. All right, I'm putting you back on hold.
See ya.
267, Philly. You're live.
What's up?
Philly, Drew in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up.
Got that right. What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
What's happening, man?
Chilling, sitting at home, not doing anything. You guys? Oh,
you
guys are alive.
Seem like you're doing much over there.
What's on your mind, buddy?
How's everything going over there in Philly?
Well, you could say that, but Sixers won today. I'm happy, but I gotta be honest with you. I was bored with this Keith Thome fight. Like, Barrios is garbage. He barely made the top 10 at 100 pounds, in my opinion. Like, in 140, there's like maybe six good fighters in that division in the top 10, and he barely hits the top 10 in that division, and he gets knocked out by Tank Davis, which he was actually. On my card, I had him winning by a round before he got knocked out for Barrios. But he looked off in the last fight. He looked absolutely off for the last fight against Keith Thurman. And you should be, and everybody should know why they matched him up with Barrios. Thurman can move. Thurman can box. That's what you're mostly going to get. Like, they thought he was going to knock Barrios out. Keith Thurman didn't get the job done. He didn't knock him out. He got the lopsided lean and everything. I had Barrios winning like one round that whole fight. And, like, I caught the Jesus Ramos fight. I even check on Twitter, my tweet. Jesus Ramos in six. He won in six. But I want to comment on Chris Eubanks Jr. Chris Eubanks Jr. is like a quarter of Roy Jones Jr. in him. That's it. He's not that talented, Chris Eubanks Jr. Because if he was talented like Roy Jones, he would have beat Billy Joe Sanders. Just saying.
There you go. There you go. All right, Philly Drew, we're going to get moving here. 716, you're live. And again, maybe you're not. All right, let's go to 760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Brian.
Brian, what's happening?
Where the hell have you been, buddy?
I've been on a milk carton, man. Where you been?
I mean, for Christ's sake, I called the police. I was worried about
you. He was worried about you, man.
Put on an APB on you.
Man.
He's going to
address
Joe
now.
You know,
I was like, now he's back, though. Now he's back.
Just been busy, you know, the kids, working, everything, you know, doing the daddy thing, man. Hey, but look, man.
I was worried about you, man.
Hey, you know, I went out there, did a search, went to the post office, and finally got a hold of the dude that had the cologne, and I got it. You know, the Manscaped cologne.
Now, I sent that to you like 6 months ago.
Man.
What are you talking about?
It,
what is it?
Nah, it came like
what do you guys,
6 months
get the mail
ago.
Late over in California?
Crazy, man.
I like FedEx it, son.
What
I FedEx
somebody walk it over all
the way
to California.
I didn't USPS it, son. I FedEx it, son.
Man, you put that package on a horse and sent it all the way to California. Stop playing, man.
Son, I FedEx it, son. That package arrived in a FedEx box. I watched them pack it, son.
Oh, man, it just got here, man.
What
it
are you
just got
doing
here.
Over there?
Nah, hey, man, but I appreciate that, man. You know, thank you guys for that. You know, even though, you know, I had to work hard to earn it and everything like that, but
you
I
did.
Got it, and thank you guys. Thank you guys.
Absolutely, hey, absolutely.
Back to this boxing thing. I only got one question, and that's it. How you guys think Keith Thurman and Barrios did on the pay-per-view buys? I don't know if you talked about it yet, but
200,000,
probably 10,000. Can I? I'm gonna say something controversial.
You think 200,000?
Check this out,
Eric.
Listen to this.
200,000. 200,000.
Check this out.
Well, I mean, Fox
is
promoting it.
Brian, check this out.
What's up?
So my friend who usually streams a lot of fights, right?
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when you stream fights and they buffer, that means a lot of people are watching them. He
mm-hmm.
streamed this fight. It was buffer free. It was like nobody was nobody was even watching this fight. No one
it
even.
It was a clear cut.
Wow.
This fight was so unappealing to the public, man. People weren't even streaming it, brother.
It had to be because I was like, you know, last year I spent so much money in boxing and on boxing these pay-per-view events. I'm like, man, I'm about to put my foot down. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, I didn't even really show no interest in it. You know, that's why I'm asking, how did it do in the pay-per-view buys? But they ain't going to release it.
If we hear anything, it'll be by Wednesday or Thursday of this week. That's usually when they come out. But chances are, if it did poorly, you're not going to hear it. And poorly is under 200. 250 under, you're not going to hear about it.
We'll see if your man Coppinger tweets anything out about it.
That's your boy.
I would be very, very surprised if they hit 200, to be honest with you. I would be surprised, man. You know?
Yeah.
We'll
see, man. Fox was promoting, but Fox wasn't even promoted that hard. You know, I didn't think Fox was really promoted that hard. I've seen him promote harder,
much on it either. I didn't see hardly anything on it, but I wasn't too interested, so I wasn't really looking for nothing. I already knew what it was going to be. So, what's Keith Thurman talking about? What's next for him?
He said he wants champions and belts.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. We shall see.
A lot of people think he's going to fight Tank next.
Tank?
I don't see it, but, I mean, yeah, it may happen.
I could, you know, I guess that's the reason why they did this matchup. I could see that leading into something like that, you know, maybe, you know.
They got a good common opponent.
Yeah.
You know, good common
exactly.
opponent. And yeah, maybe.
Exactly.
I mean, listen,
that's
man, listen, I don't
reason...
hate the fight.
Yeah, me neither.
It's
me
an
neither.
Interesting fight
That's
to me, man.
The only thing I could think of, why would Keith Thurman and Barrios be fighting? I didn't really understand that, but if that's leading up to that, then okay, I get it. I get it. Because wasn't Barrios, he moved up in weight? Or am I
he got knocked out by Tank, moved up in weight, and got beat by Thurman.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Thurman was just he was just in there working on his stamina, his boxing, and you know, and just trying to make a comeback, I guess, towards the next fight. But, B, man, what's up with this Tyson Fury, Dillian White? What's up, man? Did you guys talk about
it? Looks like it's a go, man.
They're fighting, yeah.
Oh, that's
looks
good.
Like it's a go,
that's
man.
Good.
Unless Dillian White says, hey, man, I want more money.
What, does he get $9 million,
okay.
babe?
His guarantee is like $8 million.
Yeah,
and then he's got
the back-end pay-per-view.
Back-end, I mean, I don't know what he wants, man.
Yeah.
Hey, that's
a lot of money,
to look
man.
Forward to. Hey, I'm excited
about that. Maybe he wants a Rolls
that.
Royce, too. I don't know, man.
That'll be
the easiest
fight.
Thing to get. That would be the easiest thing to get for him, you know.
I think that's going to play out. Hey, what's up with your man Wilder? I heard he may retire.
Yeah, he's going to retire.
Man, Wilder, he just...
What's your man Wilder?
I don't know, man. I don't know what's up with him, but I guess...
You're a little disappointed? You sad? Are you sad?
No, if he retires, I don't blame him.
I can sense a little bit of sadness in your voice.
Are you crying, dude?
Are you crying?
No. I'm
Did you just sniff your... Wait, hold on.
Are you okay?
Did you just sniff your nose?
I can hear you.
No. Are you crying, son?
No, maybe a little bit.
Are you for real? Over
maybe
another dude?
Bit, okay.
Are you whimpering a little
bit?
Come on.
What's wrong with you?
Nah, but look, if he retires,
bit, right?
Hey, I'm cool with that. After all that bullshit that happened with that Tyson Fury. If he comes back, it's cool. But look, he's suspended, ain't he? He can't do no gym activities for, 6 months or something?
No, he can't go into sparring for 6 months.
He's doing the Bowflex at his house right now. Don't worry about that.
Got a Bowflex.
Got a Bowflex, man.
He's committed.
He said the Bowflex.
Got the Chuck Norris home gym, man. What are you talking about?
Underrated gym, by the way.
Me, I don't think we're going to hear anything from Wilder until maybe give it next month or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? What you guys think? You guys think
he should come
back or he should retire?
He's retiring.
What do you think?
Joseph Parker wants to fight him.
For what? I mean, what are you going to come back for? You're not going to make as much money as you did in this last fight. Why come back?
He could still
you had the belt.
Money.
You had him. You defended him. Before.
Wilder's set for life, man.
Fight,
he's
man.
Set.
Hold up. Wait a
that
minute. Time out,
life,
man. Wait a minute. Nah. He ain't set. He ain't set, man. It's always who.
To
look
me,
at Mayweather.
He ain't set.
He coming back. Look, Mayweather got all that money. He's still
he's
coming
broke.
Back to try to make some.
Mayweather is broke, son.
Man, you tripping, man.
You know what drives me crazy, Eric?
Come on.
You know what drives me crazy, Eric?
There is no way.
Every time you say to somebody, oh, Mayweather has money problems, or like his fans go crazy.
They go ape, don't they? Yeah, they go crazy,
man.
Look,
man.
I'm going to explain.
Hold on, wait a minute. Time
Brian,
out.
Brian, listen to me. Brian, listen to me. Listen to me, Brian.
I got to stop you first because I'm not a Mayweather fan, but I do know this dude got bread, okay? He got a gang of bread.
You know?
He is not
no, he
broke.
Brian.
How do you know? Then why is he still fighting?
Look up his
why hasn't he paid Logan Paul yet? Why hasn't he paid Logan Paul yet if he's got so much money?
Brian, here's the problem with Mayweather.
He got a gang of bread, man.
He's not liquid. Everything is tied up into acid.
Yep.
All right? He's not liquid. Do you realize after that Conor McGregor fight, they took his whole purse? And he was still paying down a tax debt from 2010 in installments. You got people
right.
suing him, like D-Style said. Got all these people suing him. He's stiffing jewelers. I mean, the other day, man, he went to Arby's, right?
He's stiffing jewelers.
He went to Arby's the other day. He dined and dashed.
He did. I saw him walk out. He walked out of there. He didn't even pay for that roast beef, son.
Man, he dined and dashed.
He didn't pay for it.
Man, well, why they got Mayweather
dash,
is
man.
The
he
most.
Went to Dairy Queen
why,
and got a
why
blizzard,
they got him?
Ran out of there, bro, me, before the guy could even.
Why?
Guy could even
why
give him
do
the
they
bill.
Got? Why do they got Mayweather is listed as the most richest, almost the richest athlete ever, man?
No, he's not.
He's not.
Michael Jordan is worth like
he's
$2 billion.
Over,
what are you talking
he
about?
He's not over no Michael Jordan. He's not over Michael Jordan, but. He's up there.
Not
man.
Over,
you
he's not
look.
Over Magic Johnson.
You gotta look.
Not over
he
LeBron
did it
James.
Selling
oh.
Nikes or nothing. This dude made money.
So what?
I think.
Oh, here we
stop
go
it.
Again.
All right.
Look.
Here we go again.
All right, Brian. We gotta get rolling. Brian, we gotta get rolling here.
Oh,
we gotta get rolling.
Cut him off again.
Cut him off.
Cut him off again.
He got his cologne. He got what he wanted. There we go.
That ain't right, Eric.
I don't care. That's how it goes, son. That's how we're rolling around here, son.
He's dropping gems. You cut him off.
He's dropping gems. He's dropping nothing. Area code 515. You're live.
What's up, guys? Chandler M.
Chandler M., what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh.
Measuring guys is, you know what, at the...
I forgot all about that story. That's right. He was like, he was checking that dude out.
Just,
don't
was
shake your head
tonight.
At the
I'm,
urinal,
no
son.
One's safe tonight.
Let me
I'm
just shake your hand, son.
Mayweather is broke. Does everybody forget he's paying child support on like 10 kids, and it was all at the peak of his boxing heyday, so I imagine he's still paying that exact same child support payment a month.
Yeah, man. I mean, plus he buys $18 million watches and shit.
You can't sustain that. You can't sustain that.
No.
Kind of, you know what I mean?
No,
it just
that,
doesn't work.
That posse he rolls around with, they're not doing it for free, you know? I mean, he's probably got his purse.
Oh, no.
But he's definitely paying those fools. But
well, he's
got
to pay all of them
because
there's, you know, his bodyguards and stuff like that. Because he goes to the gym at night or whatever. He goes to the gym at all hours. So he's got to give them a call. They got to come over there. They got to, you know what I mean? Because he always travels with that entourage or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not, he's definitely.
I don't think he's as rich as he says he is. I bet he's in massive debt and not even trying to.
A
conspiracy theorist, but I think he's probably a lot further in debt than people think. But off this last weekend, man, I was pretty impressed with Vargas Jr. I know he was fighting a nobody or whatever, but, you know, it seems like he's got all the tools to be an up-and-coming dude prospect next year. And then I wasn't too impressed with Keith Thurman or Barrios. I don't think either one of them is going to make waves in that division. I still think Boots Ennis is probably the best, and I wasn't impressed whatsoever with Curtis Shields.
There you go. I agree. I think Boots Ennis is the guy, man. I really do.
So what's your thoughts on Dillian White and Tyson Fury? You think this fight's going to happen, or do you think someone's going to walk away from these negotiations? What do you think's going to happen?
It's pretty much done, isn't it, though? Isn't it pretty much done?
It's not done.
I don't think it's going to happen, man. I don't think it's going to happen whatsoever. Why would Tyson Fury fight Dillian White for
what's he getting 30 million?
Change?
30 million signed.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah, but you got
million.
You gotta think about it like this. Tyson Fury's not going to be around that much longer, and he's not going to go out against Dillian White. He either wants Usyk or he wants Joshua. All right, I got to go. I got kids.
All right. Go feed them kids, man.
I got kids. I got to go. He sounded so dejected, too. Like, I got kids. I got to go.
Got the mac and cheese on the stove, man. Get it going.
443, I believe this is Baltimore. 443, you're live.
Yes, it is.
We already know this is Troy.
How you
man.
Doing? Can you hear me?
How you doing, President?
Troy.
President of the Green White Fan Club. How you doing today, brother?
The Troy Graham Experience. Please say the experience. Yes, it is I.
Troy Graham Experience. You kiss the sky?
I thought it was a good fight for a guy that was coming back. And if you look at it, you got to look at it real, not so much from a fan point of view, but from a sensible point of view. You have a guy that's 5'11", and he's now fighting at 147. He's probably rehydrating to 157 or something like that, right? So he's not draining himself that much to make the weight. So he's a whole lot stronger now than he was fighting at 140. And then you have this guy that's coming off the layoff. And so he even said it himself, Thurman, that he felt some of the rust, right? But after the fight, you saw Barrios' face, right? You saw when he rearranged his face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine.
I mean, it was a good performance. I mean, I don't – yeah, I think it was a good performance. I don't have any criticism of it.
It was. I'm going to put you on speaker because this phone is hot. Can you hear me?
Phone is hot.
The phone is hot.
You talking about this
phone?
What are you talking
about?
What do you got?
I don't know,
phone?
Man. No.
His phone is hot.
No,
it's about ready to blow up on him. It's going to melt on him.
Yeah, his phone is hot.
He got a Nokia 560 from 2003.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
But go ahead.
I have the very first cell phone ever created. But, I saw Barrios' face.
Jesus.
He broke his nose, and he put his nose on the other side of his face pretty much, messed up his eye. He just flattened his face out, you know? And Barrios bruised up his face, but those were normal bruises you get in a fight. They weren't the expensive bruises that Barrios got, right? But
it's
honestly,
a fight. You're going to get hit.
I don't think
it's
this
fight
hurts Barrios.
Hit, though, you know?
Yeah.
You don't
think
it hurts Barrios?
Fight hurts him at all. No, I don't think it hurts him at all. Because in both the fights
that
he
lost. He got
knocked
out his last fight. He got whitewashed this fight. How does it not hurt?
I mean well, you got back-to-back
losses. No, because it shows that he's a star.
Right.
But he gave Tank all he could handle before he was getting knocked out, and he stood up against Thurman.
That was a good, yeah.
But he still got knocked out, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a loss is a loss.
Fight.
I mean, you know,
but
you got
knocked out. But he finished the fight
out.
On his feet. He finished the fight on his feet, and he lost on points.
Thurman, but he got whitewashed. He lost just about every round.
I understand what you're saying, but
lost.
I think he's
– You know what I'm saying?
I think he's a good – if you have a young fighter that's coming up and you want a good name and you get him to a certain point and you want let's say you want a valid name on your record, Barrios. That's how you gauge where your fighter is, your young fighter. And if he gets himself back in order and he gets a couple of wins behind his name, that's even better, talking about Barrios. But every time I hear about Fury and White, everybody's saying, well, we don't know if the fight's going to happen. I haven't heard that either one of them signed the contract yet. So until they're in the ring fighting, that's when we'll know that the fight's going to go off. Because you haven't heard any confirmation that Fury signed the contract, have you?
No, there is no contract yet.
Yes, there is.
No.
First bit. Okay, so what was this talk about Dillian didn't sign the contract yet?
Because there is no contract yet.
So
they have to drop a contract.
Other...
There's more to a contract than just the person.
What are all these channels talking about
split?
That Dillian hasn't signed the contract yet?
Because these channels are idiots. There's no contract yet. I'll call Bob Arum right now. He'll tell you there's no contract. I guarantee you there's no contract. What?
How come you're the only one with this information?
Because I talked to Bob Arum. That's why.
You do?
Remember when everyone was reporting that $100 million deal? And I got on the phone with Bob Arum, and I have it. It's on my channel. That $100 million deal was bullshit.
Yep.
You got to go to the source.
Yeah, exactly. But Bob wasn't the source for that contract. Because he wasn't even involved in that contract. What contract? You know what? No, we're going to stick with the – because we're going to go all over the place.
Bob would be a co-promoter in that event.
We're going to stick with Fury and White. I just really want to see this fight, man.
Go ahead,
Beam.
No, I'm just saying the contract's not – hasn't been completed yet.
Well, I hope it gets done because, honestly – I want to see White knock him out
right.
And then go on to become undisputed.
Hey, ping pong.
That's what I want to see happen.
I think anybody wants to see something like that happen.
And then he can have a steady run, and then he can retire because Fury is damaged goods. He's there to be beat. Joshua's mind is not where it should be.
You think White is
going to
beat Fury?
Yeah, he loves White.
Oh, you're on.
If
this fight comes off, we're going to bet. You know we're going to bet, son. White's not winning that fight. If anybody is damaged goods, it's White.
No, we're totally betting that fight. No, Fury
we're
is damaged.
Totally
he doesn't
betting
bet.
That fight,
he doesn't
son.
Bet, Eric.
Fury is damaged
goods,
man.
He won't even bet you an ice cream.
You saw it in his last fight.
Like a pie bet.
He won't do it.
What?
No.
You want to bet a pie bet with me?
I'll make an oxtail bet with you. I'll make an oxtail.
What's an oxtail
bet? Pie
bet
because you're not
oxtail's
throwing
oxtail's Caribbean
face.
Food. Are you Caribbean?
I know oxtail
you,
soup. I make oxtail
are you,
soup.
Are you Caribbean, Troy?
I'm Jamaican. Yard man, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oxtail is the shit.
So
I like
I'll
oxtail.
You
I
oxtail
soup. We, go ahead.
Nah, I was being quiet.
We're listening.
Well, listen to you. You said, tell us what you're going to do. You said you're going to do something.
Oh,
go
I'm
I
sorry.
I thought you were going to give us a recipe for oxtail.
I tell you what I'll do. You know, we'll go to Grubhub, and if I win, you just order me some oxtail. Use your credit card, you pay for it, and it comes to my house. If I lose, then I'll do the same thing for you. End of discussion.
All right, that works.
See how simple that is?
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. Absolutely do that, man.
Yeah, so, you know, you can order
your
own pie and put your own face in it. Yeah.
That's right. Troy's bets a lot better than ours, man. Troy's got really good bets. You know, he's got food coming to your house and stuff like that. I got to sit here and embarrass myself on TV, you know.
Look how much time you give Troy, and then you cut Brian off as soon as he starts schooling.
All right, well,
Troy's interesting.
Okay, well, I'm going to go now, so, you know, on that note. All I'm saying is Dillian White will be undisputed unless Tommy Brooks becomes Joshua's trainer. Unless Tommy Brooks becomes Joshua's trainer, Dillian White will be undisputed champion, heavyweight champion of the world.
What about Ronnie Shields? Okay. You're not crazy about Ronnie Shields? You're not
Ronnie
crazy
Shields
about Ronnie
is good,
Shields?
But why you want to go to the student when you can have the teacher? Tommy Brooks is there's no trainer alive that's more accomplished than Tommy Brooks. Not a one.
You remember when they had Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Troy, we're going to get running here. Let's see here. All right, let's go before we go back to the phones here. Let's see here. let's go to the upcoming fights here. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, the fight from Cancun, Mexico on ESPN Plus tonight. David Cuellar versus Ricardo Blandon. That's what he called to interrupt about? That's the fight? That's the fight that had to the press?
You know he always has to, like...
Are you for real?
You know what I don't like about this kid?
Robert, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I know you're listening right now. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's the fight you wanted to stop and talk about? Stop it, man. Come on.
Kid thinks he's like fucking TV guy. He's always going to tell us what's on and shit. I mean, please.
Come on, man. He's usually got good information. That was terrible.
I have a T-ball, man. I don't need this freaking kid calling me, oh, this is all Matt's on.
Oh, stop it. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? You take things too far. February 11th in London. I believe this is a Friday on ESPN Plus. Danny Dignam versus Grant Dennis, 10 rounds middleweights. Lee McGregor versus Diego. Who is this? Who puts these on? Who is this?
I don't know.
What is this?
Robbie,
is this that Maximize?
This is Robbie special.
This is the MTK stuff? This is awful.
This is the Robbie special.
Awful. Yeah, I'm not watching that. No. Grant Dennis and Danny Dick, stop. Stop. Give me something to watch here. February 12th, Saturday, on DAZN from London. Danny Jacobs versus John Ryder, 12-round super middleweights. Ellie Scottney versus Jorgelina Guani, 10 rounds women's junior featherweights. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not watching that, are you?
What do you think? I watched the main event, but fast forward the rest of it. Felix Cash versus Magomed Madiev, 8 rounds middleweights, and no real star power on this one here. Danny Jacobs and John Ryder, that's it for the weekend. Next weekend we got February 19th, we got Amir Khan and Kell Brook, and we'll talk about that. That's going to be on ESPN Plus. But let's talk about Jacobs and Ryder here real quick, man. I like Ryder a lot. But Jacobs can go, man. But Jacobs is a little long in the tooth, to be honest with you, I think.
This is a 50-50 fight, brother.
It really is. It really is. I would really like to see Ryder win, man. I really would.
I thought Ryder beat Callum Smith. I scored that fight 8-4 for Ryder.
Yeah.
I thought he won the fight. Yeah. I didn't even think it was – I mean, I'm just
I thought Callum Smith won. I thought Callum Smith won that fight.
You did.
I did. And, you know, it was funny because our scorecards were completely opposite. Like,
yeah,
I had Callum Smith winning big. I had him winning, like, 8-4 or something like that. And you had John Ryder 8-4.
I had John Ryder 8-4.
Yeah, we were both all over the place on that. So,
I guess it was one of those fights, you know, depending on what you like.
Yeah, D-Style says Jacobs wins. Yeah, man, I tell you what, it's either one that wins. I'm just looking forward to a good fight, man. I think it's going to be
good. I thought Gabe Rosado beat Jacobs
last fight. I did, too. That was surprising to me. But I did, too. I thought he did. Aaron Daly said Felix Cash is a really good top talent. He's going to be on fighting Magomed Madiev at middleweights. So, yeah, man, we'll check it out, man. We'll check it out. See what happens. All right, let's get to the news and rumors here. A couple of news stories here. Not a whole lot. Now, Mayweather is set to start a NASCAR team. Now, he's partnering in with some people to make a car and put his logo on. He's not, like, you know, buying the car or anything. I think he's just, like, slapping his name on it and, you know, investing in the franchise. But the funny part about all this is that this week, because this happened this week, Logan Paul came out and said he's not been paid for the Mayweather fight.
Said,
yeah. And they talked to Dana White about this, and this is interesting because I guess I don't really think about it that often, but it makes sense. So Dana White was saying when there's a commission involved, right, because there was no commission involved in this one, or it was like a shaky type because it was an exhibition type thing. He said that like in commissions like Las Vegas and California, he said what happens is the purse money goes to the gets paid to the commission so that the fighters get paid right away without any snafus or anything like that. They get paid right away.
Yeah, there's another reason why they do that too, in case they have to hold up the purse if the fighter does something that they're not supposed to do.
He like walks out of the ring before the bell, right after sure. the bell rings or sure. whatever.
I mean, yeah. But obviously the promoter writes the check, but the commission's holding on to it. Yeah.
Cam Joseph said he looks like a big Mayweather fan. He says that if Logan didn't get paid, then Floyd didn't get paid. Y'all stop saying that Floyd didn't pay Logan.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Mayweather was the promoter of the event. It's more of the event.
Right.
It was a Mayweather promotions event. So.
Yeah. And the commission didn't get the money. So they were paying, you know, because they don't have to, I guess, on an exhibition, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So there was nobody to pay. So, yeah, he was the promoter of the event.
Yeah.
So
again, people call it cognitive dissonance, Eric. You can't reason with cognitive dissonance. But my question is this: if they did have a contract, would that be enforceable in a court of law?
I believe it would be. I don't see why it wouldn't be.
That's the million dollar question. So I think what Dana was saying, and I don't want to put words in his mouth,
sure.
but maybe he's saying that there's, you know, it was a way for him not to get paid right away or whatever. But I'm sure if they have something written down and they have documentation of it being signed, then I don't know. I mean, Dana would know more than me, obviously. He is a promoter, so.
Right. You know, and I wonder, like, in the contract, if it is, you know, if there's a time limit that you get paid in. Like, we're going to pay you within 48 hours of the
yeah.
after the event takes
yeah.
place, you'll get paid within 48 hours or something to that effect.
Yeah. Well, I'm
you
sure.
Know.
And I'm sure, you know, he wouldn't sue him if he didn't have a case.
That's really lousy, though, if he didn't pay him.
How many people have come out and said Mayweather didn't pay them?
A lot.
Think about it.
Lots. Well, you said
pays
jewelers,
jewelers, landscapers.
It's just the list goes on and on, dude.
Car. He didn't make a car. He was like defaulted on car payments once.
Typically, okay. So run this down to me, Beeb, and I know, like, football players and stuff like that, and, like, high-profile athletes, none of those guys handle their finances. They have a dude, or even the bank. I know for a fact, the bank, like, those big banks, like Chase and stuff like that, they have people that work with these people. All right? They have people that work with them for a fee or whatever. Hey, give me all your finances. Give me your bills, everything like that, and we'll pay them all. We'll make sure everything's paid each month. We'll make sure blah, blah, blah. I don't understand. Like, how do they, you know, I mean, the stuff is out there to help them, you know?
You're talking about a guy would walk around with a duffel bag filled with money. For what? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
Just to look, you know what I'm saying?
Then he supposedly has a $100 million check that he hasn't cashed yet. Like, for what? I mean...
He's got a $100 million check. He has a cat. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Remember. He was post. I don't know how true that was, but he was posting his $100 million check from the Pacquiao fight. Oh, I haven't cashed it yet.
Yeah. Why don't you work on promoting your fighters? You know what I'm saying? Rather than promote your fighters.
Know, then he buys an $18 million. I mean, I don't know, man. I just, again, you know, if someone has to keep telling you that I make smart bids, like how many times you hear Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, or Jeff Bezos, when they're being interviewed, I make smart business moves.
Right.
It's obvious you're making smart business moves. You're all billionaires. You don't have to keep telling us you're making smart.
Right.
I make smart business. Like, when someone constantly repeats something like that, they're trying to convince themselves, not you.
That's it. Jamal Charlo, the robbery case that he had with that lady in the restaurant, you remember that? Lack of evidence.
We had a heated debate about this.
We did. Lack of evidence.
Told you.
There you go. Lack of evidence. Klitschko volunteers for the Ukrainian Army, Beeb. Former heavyweight boxing champion Vladimir Klitschko enlisted in Ukraine's reserved army in Kiev on Wednesday saying that a love for his country compelled him to defend it. That's insane, because that place looks like it's about 20 minutes away from war right now. And I tell you what, when the Russians, if Russia goes in there, that place is going to fall quick. They got a lot of firepower over there in Russia, man. A lot of firepower. Happy birthday to Oscar De La Hoya this week, Beebe. Happy birthday to him. Let me see if I can bring these pictures up
here.
Show
me these pictures, man. His girlfriend's kind of hot.
She is pretty hot. Yeah, she is pretty hot.
Can't hit on De La Hoya, man. He can pull those honey dips.
Yeah, he sure can, can't he?
God damn, look at that.
Right.
What's her name?
Huh?
What's her name?
I don't know. Who cares?
Can you blow that? Oh, look at this.
Yeah, let me come back.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'd want to take pictures like that with my girl.
Yeah, I don't either, man.
I don't know, man.
Let me go full screen with this guy.
Yeah. Not with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, with this girlfriend, isn't like she's like an Instagram model or something stupid, you know? Look at this. Jesus. He's over there in his underwear, like, posing around. What a doofus.
My J. Group. Like, where did he put this stuff?
He put it on Instagram. Like, she set it up, I guess, and I guess it was on her Instagram or something.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
Right? He looks like so stupid. Got a dumb little sash on, a dumb look on his face. Oh, my God. Stop. What is this? Good Lord. What's wrong with people, Beebe?
Yeah, I'm not.
What's wrong with him? It's insane. And Jan says Oscar's a freak, though. You think?
Yes,
like,
he is.
Like, we're all sitting around wondering, you know. 805, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Wake up, Nacho. Hey, what's
Nacho.
Up, buddy? How's it going?
Beebe, are you gonna really start again?
Long time no hear, man. Long time no hear. How
well, there
you been,
wasn't
man?
Really. I'm good. There wasn't really nothing much to
yeah,
comment on.
Yeah, you're right.
On,
you're right. There wasn't a lot of fights. There wasn't a lot of fights.
Yeah. So.
Wasn't a lot of fights.
Well,
we missed you though, man.
Just,
we missed you.
We did.
Your caller of the year, man. I mean, you got to call in more.
Thanks. Nacho knew that chick's name. Nacho knew
yes.
that chick's name.
Holly Saunders.
That's his beat-off material. he's got the freaking centerfold of her.
Nacho was peeping that girl out. He's like Instagram stalking her and everything.
He takes his morning crap. That comes that.
No,
her autographed picture comes in the room bathroom with him.
Hey guys, she actually used to date some big-time sports bettor in Vegas. I don't know if you guys have seen him. He's got like a YouTube documentary out where he claims he's made all these hundreds of millions of dollars just being a pro gambler in Vegas. That's his ex-girlfriend. So apparently De La Hoya.
I heard she dated a lot of those guys.
Yeah, she's one of those. You
There's
know?
A lot of rumors
she's,
out there, man.
Yeah, so.
Would you date her,
she's
Nacho?
One of those.
Yeah, would you date her? Would you date her?
Date her, yeah, but not anything other than that, though, because she's pretty much
like,
got a track record.
Like if she said to you, let me ask you a question, Notch.
Nacho, because yeah. I'm keeping all mine.
Let me ask you this question.
Exactly.
Say it's around the holidays, Notch. Check this out now. Yeah, check okay. the scene out. I'm gonna set up the scenario for you.
Yeah, set it up, Beebe.
Say it's around the holidays, right? You and her have been dating for like 6 months. And she goes,
yeah.
Nacho, I'd love to spend Christmas dinner with you and your family. Is she going to be at the Nacho residence sitting down with the family, opening gifts, eating turkey?
Nah, not after 6 months. I think I'd have to go at least a full year before I'd consider that.
Full year? That's yeah. the criteria?
Yeah, yeah. at least
full
a
year,
full
huh?
year.
You know what the
yeah.
B's criteria
six
is? 3
minutes.
Weeks.
6
3
minutes,
weeks.
Son.
3 weeks and you're
six
in.
Minutes.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
6 minutes, son. She said hi. She's coming home, son. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Nacho, so you're telling me, the way this girl looks and everything like that, she's over there, and she says, you know, hey, Nacho, I want to get with you. I want to, you know, I want to take this to the next level. You're not down with that.
Not until I'm convinced that she's not, like I said, if I... If she genuinely loves me.
What would it take to convince Nacho, besides a kiss on the cheek from the chick, what would it take to convince Nacho?
Say she opens up her phone for you, right? Say she opens up her phone for you and just starts deleting all of her guy friends.
Like De La Hoya's number is gone.
And then she just leaves your name right there. Yeah. She says, Nacho, you're the one, baby.
Yeah, she
what do
said
you do?
It too.
What do you do, Nacho?
She said it just like that.
Nacho, you're the one, baby.
Wow,
what do you do, Nacho?
That's an interesting scenario because basically,
I think you'd break down, Nacho.
I think
you'd break
down in a heartbeat. I think he's taking her home to see mom.
You know what I would think? I actually think
Eric
you would
put the burner phone out there. Come on, Eric.
he came in. He had Holly over there for tamales and everything like that. Boy, Nacho knew what was going on.
I actually think that you would not only invite her over the house, you would cook the dinner for her.
Oh.
But go ahead, Nacho. You got the floor, Nacho.
It's your floor. You got the floor.
You got the floor, Nacho. Go ahead, burn, baby.
Had to endure all this nonsense, you know.
Go ahead, Nacho. Burn.
After all these hypotheticals about Holly Saunders. just really quick, I just wanted to talk really quick about the fights last night. The first one I want to talk about is that horrible robbery of Vasquez against Raymond Ford. That poor kid got jobbed big time by those judges. There's no way that Ford won 7 and 8 rounds on those cards, like they said. To me, that kid, Vasquez, won that fight pretty easily. I thought, if anything, the fight should have been 7-3 his way. And the fact that the judges screwed him over like that, it's horrible. I hope that, you know, Eddie Hearn legitimately puts a rematch together and gives the kid another shot at Ford. But, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? With the controversy that happened from that fight and people talking about it, maybe he does get another shot at him. But that was probably the worst card of the weekend as far as, like, you know, one guy completely got outclassed and they gave him the decision anyway. So that was bogus. And then with Quadras and Bam, I mean, a lot of people who had seen Bam, you know, knew that the kid was talented. But also, too, I think his management team did a great job of picking a guy that was a little shop-worn and had a little bit of wear and tear on him. And they kind of knew he wasn't at his best, you know, going into the fight. And so Bam was going to be the you know, younger, fresher, hungrier guy. And he proved it last night. I mean, Quadras put up a really good effort, but I just felt like Bam, you know, was just the better guy, and he proved it last night. And good for him that he gets this win, and now he kind of puts himself out there as a contender in that division if he ends up staying at 115. But I wouldn't mind seeing that kid, you know, maybe go back down to 112, because I think he could clean out that division and, you know, beat those guys, especially beat that dude Sonny Edwards. That guy is just a loudmouth, so I wouldn't mind seeing him take on Sonny Edwards and see if he can beat him. And then as far as the Eubank-Williams, I don't understand Eubank's, you know, habit of he gets guys in trouble and basically is dominating the fight, but instead of going out there to try to go in for the kill and take these dudes out, he just decides to coast and lay back and basically just win a boring decision at the end. And it's like, and then he has the nerve to tell the reporter after the fight, if I really wanted to, I could have gotten him out of there, but I wanted to teach him a lesson. I was like, really? I was like, you should have took this dude out of there. That dude was completely outclassed, and you proved it. Like, if anything, you should have just put him out of his misery and, you know, ended the fight early instead of just dragging it on and not really doing much of anything.
Yeah, that's code. That right there is code for I couldn't put him away.
Yeah, that's kind of what some of the broadcasters, like Johnny Nelson, said. He goes, if he really would could have put him away, he would have. The fact that he didn't is really just him saying it, you know? So I don't know. We'll see, you know, who he gets next, because most of the top guys in the division are busy right now. They have fights scheduled, so I'd be curious to see what he gets next. But, I mean, Billy Joe Saunders is throwing his name out there into the mix, thinking that he might want to get a shot at him again. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. And then the PBC card, at least the fights were somewhat entertaining, especially the Nery and the Jesus Ramos fights. Those fights were
Did you buy that card, Nacho?
No, I went to a bar here in town where I live, Eric. They were showing it.
Okay.
So I went and watched it there. Yeah, so I went and watched it there. And like I said, the first couple fights were really entertaining. So, you know, that was fun. The only one that was just kind of real pedestrian out of all of them was the Santa Cruz fight. I mean, Keenan Carvajal sucks, and he couldn't put that guy away. That's just horrible. Santa Cruz did say that he wants to take on the winner of Wood and Conlan to defend that belt of his that he hasn't defended in like 3 years. And if that's the case, I wouldn't mind seeing that fight because I think one of those guys could beat him at this point. I mean, I just think he's a very faded version of what he used to be at this point. So I wouldn't mind seeing him take on the winner of that fight. And then just with Thurman and Barrios, I mean, I give Thurman a lot of credit as far as, like, coming back from that layoff and looking relatively good. I mean, yeah, you could tell that, you know, he was still rusty in certain spots. But as far as, like, some of these people out here talking about that he's a legitimate top five contender again off that win last night, I'm like, dude, come on. He beat Mario Barrios. Like, let's pump the brakes on that. Let's see him fight a top 10 guy and beat a top 10 guy first before we start crowning him again and saying he's a legitimate threat to Spence, Crawford, Ennis, Virgil Ortiz, and those guys. Because at this point, I just think he's a name, and he's trying to get his name back out there. But beating Mario Barrios last night doesn't necessarily make him a contender or a threat to the guys out there. You know, so all right, guys.
Let me ask you a quick question before you go. Two quick questions.
Yeah.
Was it the right fight at the right time? And what happened between Carvajal and Michael Carvajal? They had some type of issue. Do you know what that issue was?
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Good. So the thing.
What,
with
are
the
they
Carvajal,
brothers? They're not brothers, are they? Or
no.
Michael Carvajal is his uncle. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Michael Carvajal and his brother. Okay, so from what I read, there was an article they put out a few months ago, and someone gave me the link, and I looked at it. So Michael and Danny basically had a falling out years ago over the fact that Michael is pissed off that Danny ripped him off of money and property that he had accumulated during his career. And because of that fallout, Danny basically got sued by Michael, and Michael won some of his money back, but they had a falling out. And then at one point, I guess Danny tried to evict their mother out of a property that I guess Michael owned, saying that Danny was like the rightful owner. Like, he did a bunch of shady stuff. And so I don't blame Michael. Wow. If Michael's version is the truth, he got ripped off by his brother, and then, you know, he's trying to evict the mom from a property. And then on top of that, the article stated that his brother was accused at one point of possibly being a suspect in his ex-wife's and her boyfriend's murder, because the ex-wife of Danny Carvajal and the brother got killed like about 15 years ago. They got killed in a very suspicious murder somewhere in Phoenix, and they accused him of being involved, but unfortunately the cops just were never able to prove it. So basically Michael has distanced himself from the brother, and the brother and his son Keenan are out here basically, you know, saying that they're like descendants of Michael, which they are, but Michael has just said like, yeah, you know what, I don't want nothing to do with these dudes. Like, they can say whatever they want, like, I don't have nothing to do with them. So it's just a sad situation, but I don't blame Michael Carvajal for feeling the way he does. You know, that's a shady situation that his brother, you know, went and did against him. So, and then with the other question, Beeb, yeah, it's pretty wild. It could be a movie. With Thurman. I think it was the right fight at the right time, Bede, because you got a guy who, you know, moved up in weight, isn't really, you know, experienced to the point that he was ready for an older veteran who does have experience like Thurman. And, you know, it's going to take some time for Barrios to legitimately get acclimated to being a welterweight. Ideally, if anything, I wouldn't mind seeing Thurman, you know, take on a guy like, I mean, I know they probably would never do it, but if he was to take on a guy like David Avanesian and beat a guy like that, then I would legitimately believe he's back as a 147-pounder. But it has to be a
That's
legitimate
not going
to
happen. There's no
like
money
that.
In it.
There's no money in it.
He's not going to fight that guy. He's only looking for big fights right now, and Avanesian doesn't fit that mold. All right, Nacho, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy, that Carvajal story, Beebe.
I didn't know that. Man.
I didn't know that either. I'm thinking to myself, well, he was at the fight, but then I thought about it. No, he was at the DAZN fight, the Quadras fight, wasn't he?
The Quadras fight, yeah.
Right, because I saw him in the audience, and I was like, I was like, wow. I was like, there's another Carvajal fight. I'm like, wow, why ain't he there? It was just,
Yeah.
Man.
Michael Carvajal is the nicest guy in the world, too, man. Like he comes off as the nicest guy in the world. He's always, I think him and Chiquita Gonzalez were the first flyweights ever to make $1 million.
Oh, those fights were amazing, right?
Those were incredible
fights. All of those fights, every single one of them, man.
And he was a silver medalist at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Olympics, too. He was a great fighter, man.
Yeah, that guy's a solid, solid fighter, man. Sure. One of the best to ever do it at that weight, man, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, make sure you guys hit the like button if you guys like what we're doing and everything like that, man. Hit the like button. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, all that other good stuff. That is going to do it for the news, all right? And that's going to do it for us here. Now, next week.
12, right?
12 p.m.? All right.
I'll be ready.
Nice
massage.
Just have her come over the house this time, you know?
Yeah, she'll come over the house, man.
Yeah, have Lois come over.
We'll just jump in the shower.
Oh, stop it. TMI. Not all.
I know.
Smack.
People know the beep, man. They know the beep. So he's an open book.
We'll be coming to you 12 o'clock for the Super Bowl next week. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. You can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. You can catch me on Twitter at ringside73. And you can find YouTube channel. What's that?
One plug before I interrupt you.
Ringsidereporterlive.com is where you can catch us. What's up?
I was going to say one thing before. I hate to interrupt you, but
Then don't. You hate to interrupt me, but you do it. So don't do it.
The roundtable will be on this channel, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday.
Yes. Hey, okay. So I'm glad you brought that up. Because if you guys have not checked out the Roundtable yet, it's a cool show. It really is. They got podcasters from all over. They all talk about boxing podcasters from all over. They talk about it. It'll be on our channel or whatever. You guys got to check. If you haven't seen it, come check it out, man. It's great. It's a good show.
I had to interrupt you because I know right after you finish, sometimes you just stop it, like you cut off Ryan. I didn't want you to cut me off. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I cut Brian. I'm going to cut you off too. All right, guys, that'll do it. We will catch you guys Thursday, and then we'll catch you guys on Sunday.